You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
In a village called Paradiso, near Florence, there lived a certain Sister Domenica, named after that town. This little girl was born poor, but from her infancy she practiced devotion to the Blessed Mother. She fasted every day of the week in her honor. And on Saturday, she distributed to the poor the food of which she had deprived herself. And every Saturday, she went into the garden or into the neighboring fields and there gathered all the flowers that she could find and placed them before a statue of the Holy Virgin with the infant Jesus in her arms, which she had in her house. But let us see now with what favors our most grateful lady compensated this her servant for the homage that she paid her. As she stood one Saturday at the window, when she was about 10 years of age, she saw in the street a woman with a beautiful countenance, accompanied by a little child, and they both extended their hands as if to ask alms. She went from for some bread, and behold, before she could open the door, they stood beside her, and she saw wounds on the hands, feet, and breast of the child. Then she said to the woman, "Who has wounded this child?" "It was love," answered the mother. Domenica, charmed by his beauty and modesty, asked him if his wounds pained him, but he only answered with a smile. As they were standing near the images of Jesus and of Mary, the mother said to Domenica, "Tell me, little girl, what makes you crown these images with flowers?" She answered, "The love I have for Jesus and Mary makes me do it." "And how much do you love them?" "I love them as much as I can." "And how much can you love them?" "As much as they will help me." "Continue then," said the mother, "continue to love them, for they will richly return your love in paradise." Then the little girl perceived a celestial odor coming forth from those wounds, and she asked the mother with what ointment she had anointed them, and if that ointment could be purchased. "It is purchased," she answered, "with faith and works." Domenica then offered them the bread. The mother said, "The food of this, my son, is love. Tell him that you love Jesus, and he will be satisfied." The child, at mention of this word, love, began to show great signs of joy And turning to the little girl, he asked her how much she loved Jesus. She answered that she loved him so much that day and night she was always thinking of him and desired nothing else but to please him as much as he could. "Well," answered he, "love him, this Jesus, and love will teach you what you must do to satisfy him." The odor then increasing with which came up from those wounds, Domenica exclaimed, "O God, this odor makes me die of love. If the odor of a child is so sweet, what must be the odor of paradise?" But behold, the scene was changed. The mother appeared robed as a queen and surrounded with light, and the child resplendent as a sun of beauty. He took those flowers and strewed them on her head. She at once saw that these persons were Jesus and Mary and prostrated herself in adoration before them. And thus ended the vision. Domenica afterwards took the Dominican habit and died in the year 1553 with the reputation of a saint. Can the faith of this Domenica be found in my parish and yours today? Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe through the writings of the saints, mystics, and fathers of the church. How blessed was this young Domenica? And how blessed will we be if we follow that old Latin maxim, ad Jesum per Marium, to Jesus through Mary.
God.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
As we continue our journey through the life, through the story, I should say, the book written by St. Alphonsus Liguori, titled The Incarnation, Birth, and Infancy of Jesus Christ, there's a quite interesting story or event, I should say, that he relates, which reads, quote, "A certain man, while one day attending Mass without devotion, as too many do, at these concluding words of the last gospel, 'And the Word was made flesh,' made no external act of reverence. At the same instant, a devil struck him a severe blow, saying, 'Thankless wretch, thou hearest that a God was made man for thee, and dost thou not even deign to bend the knee? Oh, if God had done the like for me, I should be eternally occupied in thanking him.'" There was this whole tradition in the church whereby at the words in the old Latin Mass, which if you have an opportunity to attend, please do so. But in the old Latin Mass, of which I have an opportunity to attend when I can, there is the reading of the last gospel at the end of Holy Mass, the last gospel of St. John. And it was traditional that at the portion of that gospel where it reads, "And the Word was made flesh," that those in the church were to make a bow, some even kneeled, whether bowing or kneeling, it was an act of reverence for the incarnation, and the Word was made flesh. Sadly, we don't do that very much in the new liturgy, and or any time when those words are referenced. But here in this event, as related by St. Alphonsus Liguori, someone who was in Holy Mass and who did not make any external signs of reverence at the pronouncement of those words, the devil struck him in the head, saying again, "Thankless wretch, thou hearest that a God was made man for thee, and dost thou not even deign to bend the knee? Oh, if God had done the like for me, I should be eternally occupied in thanking him." Do we truly, really understand that most glorious mystery, the incarnation, at the moment that our Blessed Mother said yes to the angel? And so St. Alphonsus goes on to write, "Tell me, O Christian, what more could Jesus Christ have done to win thy love? If the Son of God had engaged to rescue from death his own Father, what lower humiliation could he stoop to than to assume human flesh and lay down his life in sacrifice for his salvation? Nay, I say more, had Jesus Christ been a mere man instead of one of the divine persons and had wished to gain by some token of affection the love of his God, what more could he have done than he has done for thee? If a servant of thine had given for thy love his very life blood, Would he not have riveted thy heart to him and obliged thee to love him in mere gratitude? And how comes it, then, that Jesus Christ, though he has laid down his life for thee, has still failed to win thy love? Alas, men hold in contempt the divine love because they do not, or rather, let us say, because they will not understand what a treasure it is to enjoy divine grace, which, according to the wise man, is an infinite treasure. An infinite treasure to men, which they that use become the friends of God. Men appreciate the good graces of a prince, of a prelate, of a nobleman, of a man of letters, and even of a vile animal, and yet these same persons set no store by the grace of God, but renounce it for mere smoke, for a brutal gratification, for a handful of earth, for a whim, for nothing. What sayest thou, my dear brother? Dost thou wish still to be ranked among these ungrateful ones? For if thou dost not wish for God, says St. Augustine, if thou canst meet with something better than God, desire something better if thou dost deserve something better, go find thyself a prince more courteous, a master, a brother, a friend more amiable, and who has shown thee a deeper love. Go, seek for thyself one who is better qualified than God to make thee happy in the present life and in the life to come. Whoever loves God has nothing to fear, and God cannot help loving in return one who loves him. I love those who love me. And what shall he be afraid of who is the beloved of God? The Lord is my light and my salvation, for whom shall I fear? So said David, and so said the sisters of Lazarus to our blessed Lord. He whom thou lovest is sick. It was enough for them to know that Jesus Christ loved their brother, to convince them that he would do everything for his recovery. But how, on the contrary, can God love those who despise his love? Come then, let us once for all make the resolution to give the tribute of our of our love to a God who has so sincerely loved us. And let us continually beseech him to grant us the precious gift of his holy love. St. Francis de Sales says that this grace of loving God was the grace for which we ought to ask God more than for any other, because with divine love, all good comes to a soul. All good things come together with her. This made St. Augustine say, love and do whatever you like. Whoever loves a person avoids everything that may offend him, and always seeks what may give him most pleasure. Thus is it with one who really loves God. He can never deliberately do anything to offend him, but he studies in every possible manner to please him. And in order for more quickly and more surely to obtain this gift of divine love, let us have recourse to the foremost of God's lovers. Of that I mean to Mary, his mother, who was so inflamed with his holy love that the devils, as Saint Bonaventure assures us, had not the boldness even to tempt her. They were scared away by her burning charity, so that they dared not approach her. And Richard adds that even the seraphim themselves might descend from the lofty throne in heaven to take a lesson in love from the heart of Mary. And because, continues Saint Bonaventure, the heart of Mary was a complete furnace of divine love, therefore all who love this blessed mother and address themselves to her will be inflamed by her with the same love she will make them resemble herself. And again, as the saints have said many times, that old Latin maxim, ad Iesum per Marium, to Jesus through Mary. St. Alphonsus goes on to write that Plato said that love is the lodestone of love. Hence comes the common proverb, as St. John Chrysostom remarks, if you wish to be loved, love. For certainly there is no more effectual means to secure for oneself the affections of another than to love him and to make him aware that he is loved. But, my Jesus, this rule, this proverb, holds good for others, holds good for all, but not for thee. Men are grateful to all, but not to thee. Thou art at a loss what further to do to show men the love thou bearest them. Thou hast positively nothing more to do to allure the affections of men. Yet, in point of fact, how many are there among mankind who love thee? Alas, the greatest number, we may say, nearly all, not only do not love thee, but they offend thee and despise thee. And shall we stand in the ranks of these heartless wretches? God has not earned this at our hands. That God, so good, so tender of us, who, being great and of infinite greatness, has thought fit to make himself little in order to be loved by us. To compass the idea of the immense love of God to men, in becoming himself a man and a feeble child for our love, it would be necessary to comprehend his greatness. But what mind of man or angel can conceive the greatness of God, which is indeed infinite? St. Ambrose says that to say God is greater than the heavens, than all kings, all saints, all angels, is to do an injury to God, just as it would be an injury to a prince to say that he was greater than a blade of grass or a small fly. God is greatness itself. And all greatness together is but the smallest atom of the greatness of God. David, contemplating the divine greatness and seeing that he could not and never would be able to comprehend it, could only say, O Lord, who is like to thee? O Lord, what greatness shall ever be found like to thine? And how in truth should David ever be able to comprehend it, since his understanding was but finite, and God's greatness is infinite? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and of his greatness there is no end. Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Thus all of us, according to our mode of understanding, are nothing, nothing, but so many miserable little fishes living in this immense ocean of the essence of God. How true indeed is the greatness of God, and how true indeed was the greatness of that extraordinary miracle, the greatest of all miracles, the incarnation of the Word made flesh.
You are listening to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
After St. Alphonsus Liguori extolled on the greatness of God, he goes on to say this: "Now this God, so great, has become a little infant, and for whom? A child is born to us. For us he is born, and wherefore?" St. Ambrose gives us the answer. "He is a little one, that you might be a perfect man. He is bound in swaddling clothes, that you might be unbound from the fetters of death. He is on earth, that you might be in heaven." What extraordinary words from St. Ambrose there. St. Alphonsus goes on to say, "Behold then the immensity become an infant, whom the heavens cannot contain. See him imprisoned in poor rags and laid in a narrow, vile manger on a bundle of straw, which was at once his only bed and pillow. See," says St. Bernard, "see, power is ruled, wisdom instructed, virtue sustained, God taking milk and weeping, but comforting the afflicted. A God Almighty so tightly wrapped in swaddling bands that he cannot stir. A God who knows all things, made mute and speechless. A God who rules heaven and earth, needing to be carried in the arms. A God who feeds all men and animals, himself having need of a little milk to support him. A God who consoles the afflicted and is the joy of paradise. Himself weeps and moans and has to be comforted by another. In fine," say St. Paul says, "that the Son of God, coming on earth, emptied himself. He annihilated himself, so to say, and why? To save man and to be loved by man. Where thou didst empty thyself," says St. Bernard, "there did mercy, there did charity more brilliantly appear." Yes, my dear Redeemer, in proportion as thy abasement was great in becoming man and in being born an infant, so were thy mercy and love shown to be greater towards us, and this with a view to win over our hearts to thyself. The Jews, although by so many signs and wonders, they had a certain knowledge of the true God, were not, however, satisfied. They wished to behold him face to face. God found means to comply even with this desire of men. He became man to make himself visible to them. "Knowing," says St. Peter Chrysologus, "that mortals felt an anguish of desire to see him, God chose this method of making himself visible to them. And to render himself still more attractive in our eyes, he would make his first appearance as a little child. that in this guise he might be more charming and irresistible. He showed himself an infant that he might make himself the more acceptable in our eyes, says the same Saint Chrysologus. Yes, adds Saint Cyril of Alexandria, he abased himself to the humble condition of a little child in order to make himself more agreeable to our hearts. For our advantage was this emptying made. For this indeed was the form most suitable to win our love, that of a newborn infant. The prophet Ezekiel rightly exclaimed that the time of thy coming on earth, O incarnate word, should be a time of love, the season of lovers. Behold, thy time was the time of lovers, and what object had God in loving us thus ardently and in giving us so clear proofs of his love, other than that we might love him? As I've said in previous sessions, probably the simplest way to understand this love in a human way would be that of a father and a mother with their child. What do parents desire most from their children? The only thing that a parent truly wants in return from their child is unconditional love. It is the one thing that the heart of a parent truly desires, that when their child spontaneously gives them unconditional love, a warm hug, a word, an embrace given unconditionally from a child to a parent. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what our Lord wants from you and me, from us. Unconditional love, whereby the Lord showed us what unconditional love looks like at the incarnation, at Bethlehem, at Calvary, and all that God truly desires from us is to love him in return unconditionally. St. Alphonsus Liguori goes on to write, in order to force us to love him, God would not commission others, but chose himself to come himself in person to be made man and to redeem us. St. John Chrysostom makes a beautiful reflection on these words of the apostle. For nowhere doth he take hold of the angels, but of the seed of Abraham he taketh hold. Why, asks the saint, did he not say received, but rather apprehended? Take hold. Why did not St. Paul simply say that God assumed human flesh? Why would he affirm with marked emphasis that he took it, as it were, by force, according to the strict meaning of the word apprehend? He answers that he spoke thus, making use of the metaphor of those who give chase to the flying. By this, he would convey the idea that God already longed to be loved by man. But man turned his back upon him and cared not even to know of his love. Therefore God came from heaven and took human flesh to make himself known in this way and to make himself loved, as it were, by force, by ungrateful man who fled from him. For this, then, did the eternal Word become man. For this, he, moreover, became an infant. He could indeed have appeared upon this earth a full-grown man as the first Adam appeared. No, the Son of God wished to present himself under the form of a sweet little child, and thus he might the more readily and the more forcibly draw to himself the love of man. Little children of themselves are loved at once, and to see them and to love them is the same thing. With this view, says St. Francis de Sales, the eternal Word chose first to be seen among men as an infant to conciliate to himself the love of all mankind. St. Peter Chrysologus writes, how should our Lord come, who wishes to drive away fear, to seek love? What breast so savage as not to soften before such a child? What hardness which it will not subdue? What love does it not claim? Thus, therefore, he would be born who willed to be loved and not to be feared. The saint would say that if our Redeemer had come to be feared and respected by men, he would have come as a full-grown man and with royal dignity. But because he came to gain our love, he chose to come and to show himself as an infant. And the poorest of infants, born in a cold stable between two animals, laid in a manger on straw, without clothing or fire to warm his shivering little limbs. Thus would he be born who willed to be loved and not feared. Ah, my Lord, who was it that drew thee from heaven to be born in a stable? It was love, the love thou bearest toward men. Who took thee from the right hand of thy Father, where thou sittest, and placed thee in a manger? Who snatched thee from thy throne above the stars and put thee to lie on a little straw? Who changed thy position from the midst of angels to be placed betwixt a pair of beasts? It was all the work of love. Thou inflamest the seraphim, and dost thou not shiver with cold? Thou supportest the heavens, and must thou be now carried in the arms? Thou providest food for men and beasts, and now dost thou crave a little milk to sustain thy life? Thou makest the seraphim happy, and now dost thou weep and moan? Who has reduced thee to such misery? Love has done it. Thus would he be born who willed to be loved and not feared. Love, then, love, O souls, exclaims Saint Bernard. Love now this little child, for he is exceedingly to be loved. Great is the Lord and exceedingly to be praised. The Lord is a little one and exceedingly to be loved. Again, we tend to forget, overlook, neglect the true greatness of this most extraordinary miracle, the incarnation of the Word, the birth of the Word there at Bethlehem, where the one who, as the saint there said, who took thee from the right hand of thy father, where thou sittest, and placed thee in a manger. Extraordinary words. Whereby again he goes on, St. Alphonsus, to say, who snatched thee from thy throne above the stars and put thee to lie on a little straw. Again, we tend to neglect the extraordinary magnitude of this most extraordinary miracle of miracles. And again, as St. Alphonsus writes, echoing the sentiments of the saints and mystics of the church, who changed thy position from the midst of angels to be placed betwixt a pair of beasts? And then he ends up by saying, it was all the work of love. Out of love for you and me. He goes on to write, we ought to adore him as our God, but our love ought to keep pace with our reverence towards a God so amiable and so loving. St. Bonaventure reminds us that a child finds its delight with other children, with flowers, and to be in one's arms. The saint's meaning is that if we would please this divine infant, we too must become children, simple and humble. We must carry to him flowers of virtue, of meekness, of mortification, of charity. We must clasp him in the arms of our love. And O man, adds Saint Bernard, what more do you wait to see before you will give yourself wholly to God? See with what labor, with what ardent love, your Jesus has come down from heaven to seek you. Hearken, he goes on to say, how scarcely yet born his wailings call to you. And if you would say, O soul of mine, it is thee I am seeking, for thee and to obtain thy love. I am come from heaven to earth. Having scarcely quitted the virgin womb, he calls thy beloved soul after the manner of infants. Ah, my soul, my soul. I am seeking you, for you am I making this pilgrimage. In essence, for you, God made this pilgrimage from heaven to earth. A pilgrimage done through the incarnation of the Word made flesh. this pilgrimage that our Lord made from heaven to earth to seek your love and mine. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zompanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.